If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you take them, please, and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs. Today's message, which is entitled Lazy Acres Farm, is the last in our series of looking at the seven deadly sins. As you recall, of course, these messages are based on the seven words that Pope Gregory the Great, back in the 6th century, said that all sins could be grouped under one, if not more, of these seven sins, and they are deadly, as all sins are deadly. And so today we're going to be looking at this seventh and final sin that is called laziness, slothful, sluggish, sluggard, whatever term you wish to use. It's all the same. It means a person who does nothing. And so in Proverbs chapter 24, I'll begin reading with verse 30. This is a passage of scripture. You know, the book of Proverbs is the most practical book of all of the books of the Bible. It is a book of wisdom. It is a book that is filled with practical principles and applications that can be used in everyday lifestyles. I believe it was Billy Graham who said you can read the Psalms and the Proverbs in a month's time. There are 150 chapters in the Psalms, and there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And if you'll read 5 chapters out of the Psalms and 1 chapter out of the Proverbs, you can finish both books in a month's time. The Psalms is full of wisdom that tells us how to get along with the Lord and how to relate to the Lord. Proverbs is full of wisdom that is on a horizontal level that tells us how to get along with our fellow man, how to get along with one another. So we have wisdom and instructions and guidance to tell us how to relate to the Lord as well as how to relate to our fellow man. Someone has said that it's like the form of the cross. We have a vertical relationship and we have a horizontal relationship. Vertical with the Lord, horizontal with our fellow man. And so the book of Proverbs, a very practical book that tells us how to get along with one another. This particular passage of scripture out of Proverbs that we're looking at today addresses the subject of laziness. Laziness. Thus the term Lazy Acres Farm, because this is a story or an illustration about a man who passes by a field and he sees how it is overrun with thistles and with weeds, and the walls that are supposed to protect the garden or the field from animals as well as from people who would go in and try to steal from the farmer whatever he's trying to raise. And so these things they're destroyed, they're broken down, they've not been taken care of, and it's out of neglect. And as you shall see, as a result of laziness on the part of the man who owns the field. So look at it, Proverbs chapter 24, beginning with verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. I took my thesaurus and looked up the word lazy or laziness and found all kinds of synonyms that describes and helps to define the term lazy or laziness. And right off, the term that I found was the word lazy bones. You ever use that expression, maybe in kidding perhaps with the children, about you little lazy bone you? Of course, it means a self-indulgent person who avoids work. He just doesn't want to work, and so he's lazy or has lazy bones. There's the word idle. There's the two words do nothing. There's the word loaf or loafer. There's the term couch potato. There's the term lottering, not lottery like you buy a lottery ticket, but the word lottering means to just stand around and do nothing. You may see signs in public areas that says no lottering or no lottering allowed or something of that effect. That means you just don't stand around and do nothing there like a lazy individual. The term bum, mooch, goof off, waste time, kill time. I've never understood why anybody would want to kill time. What did time do to you that you'd want to kill it? Kill time. Then there's let the grass grow under your feet. Indolent, slothful, shiftless, good for nothing. Those are all terms that help describe the word lazy or laziness. A symbol of laziness is the sloth. The sloth is the mammal that lives in Central and South America. It is the slowest moving of all mammals. He may spend an entire lifetime in the same tree. If he were in a 60-second race, he would only move a few feet. It's typical for a sloth to sleep anywhere from 15 or more hours a day. Now, I'm not talking about a teenager here. I'm talking about a mammal named a sloth. And because he is so slow, then moths and algae will grow on him. And he will sometimes give off a green glow or tint because of the algae that has grown on him. He is such a slow mover. And of course, he smells. But he just ignores the smell. And sometimes we talk about a person being so lazy that they stink. And so this is like the sloth. He is so slow and so lazy. I looked up also some quotations that have been made by various individuals. There was a man that I read about who had spent several days in a hotel, and he was watching a certain maid going from room to room, cleaning up the rooms, but she wasn't moving very fast. So he made the comment to her, says, "Don't you do anything fast?" "Oh yes," she said, "I get tired fast." Someone else has said, the lazier a man is, the more he is going to do tomorrow. Then someone else has said, no one is so tired as the one who does nothing. And then another one, some men remind us of blisters. They don't show up until the work is done. Even if you are on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And then Dr. M.R. Dehan, the late Dr. M.R. Dehan, a medical doctor turned preacher, very instrumental in writing devotionals. The devotional guidebook that we give out, Our Daily Bread, was originated with him and started by him and his ministry, the Daily Bread ministry that he does. He has a devotional entitled The Lust of Laziness. And in that he says, in these times of gloom and doom, there are four things that we can do with our hands. First, we can wring them. Secondly, we can fold them. Thirdly, we can put them in our pockets. Or the fourth thing that we can do with our hands is to lay them on some job that needs to be done. Then he says, God grant that we may do the best in being the last thing that is mentioned and be saved from the lust of laziness, the lust of laziness. Another term that can be used to describe laziness is spectator. A spectator is an individual who sits on the sideline and watches all the work that is being done. He can be very critical. He's sometimes referred to as a stadium quarterback who knows all the ways to call the different plays. And if I was down there, this is what I would do. He's very critical of how things are going on in the field, but he never gets out there on the field to do it. Another term is the word indifferent or apathy, indifference. Prevents people from putting forth the necessary energy in order to accomplish a goal. And indifference and apathy has destroyed many a marriage because we're just not willing to put forth the effort and the energy and the discipline that it takes to make a marriage work. Many times I've said to a young couple who are getting ready to say their marriage vows to remind them that good marriages and successful marriages don't just happen. They happen because the two people who are involved want to make it happen and do the work that's necessary to make a marriage successful and good. Some people allow indifference to affect their work. They may even lose their job for lack of energy or interest or involvement and activity in accomplishing the goal that they're supposed to accomplish at their job. Sometimes mothers and dads allow laziness to interfere with their discipline of their children or helping a needy family. Laziness is like poison. It will ruin your life, and many people die before they are buried because laziness will literally suck the life out of them. They become like a rudderless raft on an open sea, or driftwood simply floating downstream with the current. Driftwood doesn't drift upstream. It always drifts downstream. Indifference can cause the neglect of church attendance and Bible reading, praying, and witnessing. If indifference and apathy is not a problem in our society, then why do we have so many divorces? Why are so many children and spouses being abused? Why are so many friendships broken? Why are so many self-help books and motivational seminars attended by so many people? Why do so few people go to the polls and not vote? Why do so many Christians say that their spiritual life is as dry as the Sahara Desert? Why do some people never graduate from college? Why do they can't keep a job? Why don't they get a job promotion? Sometimes it's because, not always, now don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that all of the cases are caused by indifference and laziness, but many of them are. Another word that goes along with laziness is procrastination. A procrastinator, someone has said, is an individual with a weight problem, W-A-I-T. Procrastination is a universal problem. We know what to do, but we just put it off. And it becomes a lifestyle for us. In fact, there's even a cycle that many people who are procrastinators will fall. It goes like this. I'll start early this time. Or then they'll say, I've got to start soon. Or I should have started sooner. Or still, there's time to do it. What's wrong with me? I can't wait any longer. Just get it done. Next time, I'll start earlier. And the cycle goes around, around and around. Someone has said, procrastination is my sin. It only brings me sorrow. I know that I should give it up, and I will tomorrow. Most of us will remember the children's story, The Little Red Hen. This little red hen found a grain of wheat, and she asked, who will help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Then I will plant it myself, said the little red hen. And then she asked, who will help me reap the harvest? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Well, then she asked, I would do it myself. And then she asked, who will help me carry the wheat to the mill? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Well, then she said, I'll do it myself. And then she asked, who will help me make the flour into the dough? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Well, then I'll do it myself, she said. And then she asked, who will help me bake the bread? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Well, then she said, I'll do it myself. But then she asked the question, who will help me eat this bread? Oh, I will, said the duck. Oh, I will, said the goose. Oh, I will, said the cat. Oh, I will, said the pig. And then she said, no, I will eat it myself. And she did. Well, this little children's story may seem silly to you, but it's a reality for a lot of people in our society. They're willing to eat the bread if somebody else will do the work. There are many people who have the same attitude as did these animals in this little child's story. They're too lazy to work, but they're ready and eager to enjoy the bread that someone else has baked and worked for. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about laziness. Let me give you quickly just some extra verses of scripture. You don't have the time to look them up. Just let me give them to you and you listen to them. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, in the parable that Jesus told about the talents, He gave five talents to one, two to another, and one to a third. That one person talent took his talent and buried it, kept it intact. When the master came back and called the servants in to give an account of what they had done with their talents, you know the story. The five-talent person had doubled it. He had 10. He was congratulated. The two-talent person had two. He was invested them, doubled them. They had four. He was congratulated. There was this one-talent person who offered all kinds of excuses. "I know you are a hard taskmaster," he said. "You reap where you have not sown. I was afraid, and I went and I buried my talent, and here I have it intact." The master was upset with him. In fact, Jesus used the words in describing this one talent man. He said, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew I reap where I did not sow. You should have put my talent to usury. You should have invested it. At least it could have doubled itself and had two instead of just one. And because you were lazy and wicked, that will be taken away from you, and you will be thrown into outer darkness." And then Jesus said to the disciples who went with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, oh, but the flesh is weak." And then in James chapter 4 and verse 17, "Therefore to one who knows the right to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." That is a verse of scripture that supports the idea of the sin of omission. You can commit sin by knowing that there is something that you need to do, that you ought to do, that it is the right thing to do, but you fail to do it, and to you it is sin. It is called the sin of omission. And if you know that you're to do something and you don't do it, you will be held accountable for not doing for what was right, as well as that individual who did what was wrong. The sin of commission and the sin of omission. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man does not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and eat the bread or earn the bread that you eat." So he was talking to the idle person, the lazy person, the indolent person. You don't work, you don't eat. And our command to you is work so that you can earn your bread and enjoy it. And then, of course, in Hebrews 6:12, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." And we could go on and on and on. In fact, we will now as we look into the body of the message and talk about this lazy man's farm. The lazy acre farm is a lazy, broken down wall and run over field with thistles and briars and nettles because of this man's failure to take the responsibility of looking after his property. There are three major things that we want to look at briefly this morning. First of all, the ignorance of the lazy person. The ignorance of the lazy person, and then the product of the lazy person, and then the challenge to the lazy person. So let's look at the first idea of the ignorance of the lazy person. Notice in verse 30, "I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense." If you have the King James Version, it's the word void. He was void of understanding. The word void or lacking means empty. We refer to a person sometimes who's lacking intelligence and common sense as having an empty head. And in a very reverent and respectful way, this is what the writer of Proverbs is saying. You are an empty-headed fool because you did not take care of the responsibilities that were given to you. You were lacking sense. You had no common sense. The Good News translation or paraphrase says, "You lazy, stupid man." And I know that we're not supposed to use the word stupid, but that's what the Good News translation and paraphrase uses. You're a lazy, stupid, ignorant, unintelligent, empty-headed fool if you do not take care of the responsibilities that have been given to you. And he says, "I passed by this field." It was the field of the sluggard or the lazy person, and by the vineyard of the man who was empty-headed and lacking intelligence. I looked, and behold, he says, it was overgrown with thistles. Its surface surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. It was broken down. So there are three things here about this ignorant, lazy person. He does not understand why prosperity eludes him, or escapes him. He can't understand it. He tries to work, but he just never succeeds at it. He never advances in it. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Again, the Proverbs is full of practical applications and so forth. So go to Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Two questions are asked. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? How long will you lie down, O sluggard? How long? When will you rise from your sleep? When will you rise? How long will you lie down, and when will you rise? How long? When will? And in other words, it just a vicious circle go round and round and round. Someone has said the train of failure usually runs on the track of laziness. The train of failure usually runs on the track of laziness. So he doesn't understand why he can't succeed. Prosperity escapes him. It eludes him. The second thing, not only does he not understand why prosperity eludes him, he doesn't understand why people avoid him. Why people avoid him. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21, look at verses 25 and 26. Proverbs 21, 25 and 26. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. So he doesn't work. He doesn't put his hands to work. He doesn't use his hands to earn a living. And he goes around begging and borrowing and doing what he can to get from other people. And after a while, you know, you just kind of wear people out. And so they avoid you. They see you coming. Man, they're going to get away. They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to hide. They're going to do something. And this guy can't understand it. Why don't people like me? Why don't people want to hang? Why do they avoid me? And it's because they are lazy. They're not industrious. And then notice the third thing, not only prosperity eluding him and why people avoid him, but the third thing he can't understand is why problems plague him. Why problems plague him. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6, and in Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. You're going to be robbed. You're going to be robbed of prosperity. You're going to be robbed of blessings. And you're just going to go through life being a victim of laziness, a victim of laziness. You know, times are usually trying for people who are not trying. And this is what happens to this guy. And his life is just filled with one travesty, one problem after another. And it just seems like everything goes against him, and he's plagued. He's plagued. He's cursed. And he just can't understand why. And then notice the second thing. Not only the ignorance of the foolish and lazy person, but the product of the lazy person. Notice, go back to chapter 24 and look at verse 31. Proverbs 24 and verse 31. This man, evidently Solomon, writing the book of Proverbs, he goes by this field and he observes it. He looks at it and he says, it is completely overgrown. This field has been neglected. And you know how to grow weeds? You just leave your flower bed alone. Just leave it alone. It'll grow. It'll grow weeds. Same thing is true about your field. When you farm, if you have a garden of some kind, you may not be able to grow tomatoes and okra and corn and all those good things, but you can sure grow some weeds. And you grow them by just leaving it alone, neglecting it, ignoring it, and it'll grow weeds. It will. And so he walks by this field. It is completely overgrown with thistles. The surface of it is covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. It's broken down. So he produces a crop of thorns, nettles, broken walls. You know, the Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25, in the parable of the tares and the wheat, he said, while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed the tares, sowed the nettles and the thorns and the weeds and so forth. While men slept, all of this was done. The field was unattended. It was neglected. It was ignored. The walls were broken down. And that was the kind of crop that the lazy man produces. There are five consequences of the lazy man. These are the things that the lazy man will produce in his life. There are five of them. First of all, there is a wasted opportunity. A wasted opportunity. Look at chapter 13 and verse 4. In chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And the word fat, oftentimes, as it's used in the Bible, doesn't necessarily mean a person who's overweight. It talks about a person who's prosperous, who's very successful, and consequently has an abundance. He's a wealthy individual. And here he is saying the lazy man is, according to verse 4, a man who craves, he wants this, he wants to be successful, but he does nothing. And so he wastes an opportunity. We've been using children's stories along as we've gone through this message. Here's another one. You remember this little poem? Little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep are in the meadow and the cows are in the corn. Where is the boy that looks after the sheep? Well, he's under the haystack, fast asleep. Ignoring his responsibilities, neglecting responsibilities. Why are the sheep in the pasture and the cows are in the corn? Because he hasn't been doing his job, that's why. He's neglected his work. I came across this verse of scripture this week in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and verse 4. In the Living Bible paraphrase. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you wait until everything's perfect, you're never gonna get anything done. You never will. You'll waste your opportunities. He wasn't much for stirring about, wasn't his desire. No matter what other folks were doing, he was sitting by the fire. When the frost was on the pumpkin and the wind was creeping higher, he spent his time just this way. He was a sitting by the fire. Same old habit day by day, he never seemed to tire. While others were building a great church and community, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died, as all must do. They said he went up higher. But if he's doing there what he did here, he's sitting by the fire. The sluggard, the lazy person, fails to see that a missed opportunity is a lost opportunity. I remember an English professor that we had in college. He was always making us memorize poems and so forth. And there was one poem in particular. I don't remember how all of it goes, but I do remember a line or two of it that it says, "Lost somewhere between sunrise and sunset, 60 golden minutes, each set with 60 diamond seconds, and no reward is offered, for they are lost and gone forever." And when you have an opportunity and it comes your way, knocking on your door, and you fail to open the door to that opportunity, you're wasting that opportunity and you're losing it, never to get it back. And it's because of laziness. A second thing that you'll notice that he produced was incomplete projects. Incomplete projects. Look at chapter 12 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possessions of a man is diligence. And what this image is it's an image of the hunter. And he goes out and he shoots ducks. But he doesn't dress them, and he's not going to cook them. He just shoots them. That's it. And he either lets them go to waste, or he lets somebody else cook them, somebody else dress them, and so forth. So he has an incomplete job. He just shoots the duck, but he doesn't clean it, and he doesn't cook it. Same thing with deer hunting or any other type of hunting where you go out and you may shoot the deer, but then you let somebody else dress it and somebody else cook it and so forth. And so it's an incomplete job that he's doing. Look at chapter 19. In chapter 19 and verse 24. in chapter 19 in verse 24. And boy, here's a picture of a real lazy man. Verse 24 of 19. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Oh, he puts his hand in the dish, but for some reason he just can't ever get it to his mouth. He's lazy, man. He really is. He's lazy. So you've got wasted opportunities, incomplete projects, and then thirdly, flimsy excuses. Flimsy excuses. Look at chapter 22 and verse 13. Chapter 22 and verse 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I will be killed in the streets. There's no lion in the street. You don't find lions in the city streets. Unless there's some, well, sometimes there's one if you're close to a wooded area maybe because of the dry drought or whatever. They'll come looking for water. Once in a while that may happen, but he's saying, man, I can't go outside and go to work. There's a lion out there and he might attack me and eat me alive. And so he just, you know, what an excuse. What an excuse. Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 13 in the Living Bible. The lazy man is full of excuses. That's what he said. He'll find some kind of excuse not to go to work, some kind of excuse why he can't study for the final exams, some kind of excuse to why he can't work on his marriage or work at his job or whatever it may be. He just comes, it doesn't have to make sense. It's just a flimsy excuse. Let me give you three words that will literally transform your life. Here they are. Do it now. Do it now. And don't procrastinate. Don't wait till tomorrow. You know, I've told, I'm not a space scientist, never worked at NASA in my life, but I've read, and I've seen it on the screen, and some of you have witnessed it in person when you've gone down to Florida and watched a spacecraft as it lifts off the launching pad. Those who know and those who work at NASA will tell you that the greatest amount of energy that is used happens at the launching time. All of that energy going in to lift up that spacecraft, to just get it off the launching pad. Once you get it into orbit, hey, it's a cinch. There's nothing to it. It just goes around and around and around. But boy, getting it up off that launching pad takes all of the time. You just can't imagine how the earth trembles and the sound is just ear-piercing when you're there close enough to see that spacecraft as it launches and all that power and that energy as it lifts it off the launching pad. And you know, the greatest energy that you'll use is getting started. Getting started. Just finally decided, I'm not going to procrastinate any longer. I'm not going to put this off any longer. I've been wanting to do this. I need to do this. I'm going to do it now and get it done and quit using flimsy excuses as to why you can't do it. Number four, selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions. Look at chapter 21, verses 24. 25 and 26. Chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. So there's this selfish ambition. He doesn't want to work. He wants everything given to him. Everything given. I'm not opposed to welfare for those who are legitimately in need of it. And there are literally people in our society and in our nation today who cannot find the jobs. The unemployment rate is sky high. But there are a certain percentage of people in our community who are leeches on society and who wouldn't go to work if their life depended on it. And therefore, the Bible says, and I'm quoting it from Paul, if you don't work, you don't eat. I think that's a good principle for our government to put into practice. And we'll let it lie at that. The fifth thing, certain tragedy is going to happen. That's what he's producing. He's producing certain tragedy. Look at chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, and so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. And there's another place in the scriptures where he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways. Be wise. Little ant knows. He's got enough common sense. He doesn't have anybody standing over him telling him what to do. But God put into that little brain of that little ant the knowledge that winter's coming. And boy, I've got to make hay while the sun shines. Well, an ant doesn't make hay, but people do, and cows eat it. We got to work while we have the time to do it, because the time may come when you can't work. And if you don't work and you can't eat, you're going to die. You're going to die. And this is what happens. Laziness grows on people. It begins in cobwebs and ends in iron chains. The third and final thing that I share with you is the challenge. The challenge for the sluggard. There are three things. Number one, be disciplined. Be disciplined. Go back to chapter 6 in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6, 7, and 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. So here's a little ant, very diligent, just works night and day, and carries heavy loads, many times heavier than itself is. And he said, go to the ant and observe the ant, study the ant, watch what the ant does. The little ant is diligent, and you need to be diligent on it. And then disciplined, and then diligent, and then the second thing, I got it mixed up here. First is disciplined, and then diligent. And then the third thing is be dedicated. Be disciplined, be diligent, and be dedicated. Be dedicated. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, work hard, do not be lazy, serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Don't be lazy. Be disciplined, be diligent, and be devoted. If you are a Christian, then you ought to take these three challenges seriously in being disciplined and being diligent and being devoted in your work. Don't bring shame and disgrace to the name of Christ because you let it be known to your employer that you are a Christian and yet you behave in an unchristian manner. You're bringing disgrace and shame to the name and cause of Christ. Shame on you. And shame on you for being lazy. Anything that you do, you ought to do it as unto the Lord. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians. And he was talking to slaves. And he says, if you are a slave, then you serve your master. But in serving your master, you do it as though you were doing it for the master of all masters, who is the Lord Jesus. And if you are in a marriage relationship, then you ought to work on your marriage. And love your wife and love your husband. And you do it as though you're loving the Lord. Whatever it is, if you're a student at school, whether you're in elementary school or high school or college or whatever it may be, you cannot loaf all semester long, all 6 weeks long, and then come to the end of it and pray, oh God, help me to pass this test. Oh God, help me to write the paper overnight that was due in the morning, and I've had 6 weeks to get it ready, and I haven't done it yet. Then you expect God to help you. Shame on you. You're lazy. No for good loafer. You couch potato. You slothful individual. You stink. Have you ever seen the kudzu? Yeah, the plant, you know, that grows everywhere. We were in Alabama this week. We took our daughter back to Alabama and we brought our grandkids back. But we're diligent. We're dedicated. While we were in Alabama, you go down the highway, interstate highway, or even in the little Daphne, we're next to Mobile, Alabama, and we were driving down the street, and I looked over. Here's a field totally overcome with kudzu. Kudzu is this little green, well, it's not little, it's green plant. It just grows everywhere. It originates from Japan. And it was brought over to America back in 1876 at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it is now common along roadsides and other undisturbed areas throughout most of the southeastern United States. It has been spreading at the rate of 150,000 acres a year. It is estimated that there are now over 7 million acres in America that is covered with kudzu, a plant that smothers other plants, the plant that grows up trees and sucks the life out of those trees as well. Now, lest we give kudzu a bad rap, there are some research work that is being done, and it is believed that the kudzu can be used for a lot of good things, making baskets, for stopping the erosion of land, soil enhancement. It can be used to feed animals such as goats. I'm told in reading the information that I consulted that sometimes a kudzu can be used in certain medicines. It can be possible used to help an alcoholic with his craving. The research is being done as a cancer preventive. It is thought to maybe help control migraine headaches or allergies. In China, kudzu is one of the top 50 fundamental herbs. It is being studied as a possible help remedy to Alzheimer's disease and diabetes and heart trouble. It can be used for starch, for soap, for lotions, for jelly, for compost, for fiber in making clothing. And in East Asia, it is used to make tea or other health tonics. But in the United States, it has some nicknames. It's called the foot a night vine, growing a foot a night, a mile a minute vine, or the vine that ate the South. And it's all these nicknames are given to it because of it's out of control. When it's controlled, then it can be used in useful ways. When it's out of control, it's devastating. It's devastating. It's just consuming and covering everything in its path when it's neglected and out of control. And I thought about that as I thought about this subject of laziness. You know what kudzu can do to a piece of land when it's just allowed to run free? Laziness would do for you. It'll kill you. It'll smother you to death. And it will literally suck the life out of you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Unless you are dedicated and diligent and devoted and disciplined in your walk with God. May we bow together. Well, Lord, I know that all of us at times are lazy, but it's the person who's persistent at it. It's the person who's just eaten with it and has allowed laziness to take control of their lives to the point that they do nothing to improve themselves or their conditions. And it reminds us of the parable that you told about the man of the talent who had been given only one, and out of fear, he just took it and did nothing with it. And you called him wicked and lazy. Oh, dear God, forgive us for our laziness and the times that you know that that there's been a need somewhere and we failed to do it. We think about not only in our community and in our family and in our personal lives, but we think about the church and think about opportunities that we have to serve the Lord here, to help with hope, helping other people to learn to speak English so that they can make a living in our society. And there's such a need there for people to come and teach and help. Places in Sunday school where there are teachers that are needed to help with our children or with the adults or whatever it might be, or serving on a committee or being a witness or just reading our Bibles every day or coming to church faithfully. There are so many things that need to be done and should be done, and we ought to be doing them, and many of us are, but there are some that are still lazy, still sitting on the couch, still folding their hands and putting them in their pockets and failing and refusing to do anything to help the kingdom of God grow. Oh God, forgive us for our laziness and our slothfulness. Bless now this time of invitation. I know that it comes to a time of invitation, people are reluctant to respond, but Holy Spirit, you're in charge, and I just pray that you'll touch our hearts and lives in whatever decision that we need to make that would bring honor and glory to you and good things to us, that we'll be smart enough, not empty-headed, and lazy and stubborn, and that we would just yield to you and allow you to have your wonderful and powerful and great and mighty way in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.